singing together hymn number 1151. The tune is Salzburg 861. Great sovereign Lord, what human eye amidst thy works can rove, and not thy liberal hand despy, nor trace thy bounteous love. Hymn 1151.
Oh, from the Holy Word of God, we will read together the second book of Kings, chapter 6. The second book of Kings, chapter 6. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants, and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with the bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. When they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the winepress? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son, and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son, that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, God do so, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, See ye how this son of a murderer has sent to take away mine head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him and said, Behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? May God bless to us that reading of his holy word. May he teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather once again in this house of prayer. We thank thee for the occasion which we meet, for these thanksgiving services. We pray thy gracious presence and help to us each as we desire to worship thee, and as we desire to give thee thanks for the multitude of thy mercies toward us. Truly we have to say that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We gather here, most merciful God, for these thanksgiving services during this pandemic which is upon our nation and the nations of the earth. And Lord, we do thank thee that once more the house of prayer has been opened, and that we are able to meet in this way. We pray, Lord, that thou would help us, for there are still restrictions upon us as we worship. Lord, we do pray that it might please thee to remove this virus from our nation, and once more that we may have restored to us our normal worship in thy house of prayer, without restriction of seating or the wearing of masks. But Lord, we pray that thou would help us as we are in these current circumstances. We pray that there may be no hindrances to our worship. We pray that distractions might be taken from us. We pray that thou wilt bless us with thy presence here, that we may be lifted above these inferior things, and that we may see no man save Jesus only. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless us with a thankful spirit. Lord, that we may not be with a spirit of the world, which is often unthankful. Lord, we pray that we may not be unmindful of the many blessings that we have. We may not be neglectful in rendering to thee the praise that is due to thy holy name, as thy mercies continue to abound toward us. We thank thee for that promise that was given to thy servant Noah, that while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And Lord, we thank thee for thy faithfulness and for the certainty of thy word. In a world, Lord, which in many respects is uncertain, in a world where there are many changes, in our day, Lord, when there are many things that are uncertain, help us to look to those things which are certain, those things which are sure and steadfast, the things of God. Lord, lead us to thy word. Lead us to thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Reveal the truth as it is in Jesus to us each. Reveal to us, Lord, and show us our sins, the certainty of death and eternity and a judgment day. Reveal to us, Lord, our frailty, our weakness, the shortness of our lives. Grant us, Lord, a view of the vastness of a never-ending eternity. And bless us, Lord, with thy Spirit to search our hearts and to try our ways and to see if there be any wicked way in us. And we pray, gracious God, lead us each in that way everlasting. Lord, we do pray that we each may know what it is to be truly thankful for thy gracious gift, the gift of gifts, the person and work of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus. May we each know, oh, that desire of the psalmist, what can I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Lord, we pray that even this afternoon there may be some here that can thank thee for the precious blood of Jesus, for that spotless life which he lived, to thank thee for that way made, a name given, that name which is above every name, and to thank thee for the throne of grace, for the door of mercy that is still open, despite what sin and Satan would do. And to thank thee for the blessed Holy Spirit, who takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them unto us. And we do pray that thou take us each by the hand. Remove all those hindrances and obstacles that would be put in the way by the enemy of souls. And lead us to thyself. Bring us to thy feet. May we be thankful for the gift of repentance, the gift of thy Spirit indwelling in our hearts. Oh, may we be thankful to know what it is to have Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, Lord, help us today as we seek to worship thee. Words at times fail us to express the gratitude, the thankfulness, that despite our many sins and failings, thy mercies are new every morning. And great is thy faithfulness. And so, Lord, have mercy upon us. And, Lord, bless us with thy presence. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt fill this place with thy presence, and that thou wilt draw us to thyself. Lord, we pray that we may be blessed with the power of thy Spirit to attend the word. Oh, Lord, we pray that it may be a word, a living word to us. May there be those things, Lord, that bring us to consider, to ponder. Those things, Lord, to pray over. Lord, we pray that eyes might be opened, that ears might be unstopped, that hearts might be softened. And Lord, we pray that all the glory might be unto thee. Help us then, we pray. Teach us, Lord, to truly worship thee. May we worship in spirit and in truth. May our assembly, our gathering, not mock thee, most gracious God, but rather may we be in the spirit. So, Lord, help us. May we put aside the unnecessary things. Lord, may we lay our burdens, our cares, at thy dear feet. Teach us how to pray. Lord, bless us with answers. Do encourage, Lord, us each with those answers of peace. Lord, we pray that thou'd help each of the friends. Thou knowest their needs, their cases, the things that concern them. Bless this house of prayer, this cause of truth. Bless the church and congregation. Bless the dear pastor, Lord, as he ministers the word here week by week. Lord, who encourage him that his labours are not in vain. Rather, may there be the signs following for thy honour and glory. We pray for thy servants gathered this afternoon. We ask the same blessing. May it be the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Help us to continue. Help us to persevere. Help us to strive, to wrestle. Lord, bless us with thy gracious help. Bless thy people. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt stir up the hearts of thy people. May the church be travailing, wrestling in prayer for the souls of those that are turning in week by week, and those in the neighbourhoods around the causes of truth. Lord, who stir us up. Oh, that there might be that laying hold. We may touch the hem of thy garment. Lord, we do pray, deliver us from the power of sin and Satan. Lord, he at times is a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. Lord, at times he's as an angel of light. Keep him out of our hearts. Keep him out of the church. Lord, be that wall of fire round about and the glory in the midst. Oh Lord, remember us in this dark and evil day. Thy judgments are abroad. And we do pray that thou wilt bring this country to see thy hand, to hear thy voice, and to turn from their idols to serve the living God. Spare us, Lord. In much wrath, remember mercy. Oh, we thank thee for the harvest. We do return thanks, Lord, for the many blessings. Oh, we do pray that thou continue to supply the needs of every living thing. Bless the children, we pray. Help those that have returned to school. Grant, Lord, thy safekeeping over them each. Oh, we pray that each one of us might be thankful for the mercies that have spared and kept us through this virus. And maintaining us day by day. Lord, continue thy gracious favour toward us. Lord, we pray that this time of distress and trouble might prove to some to be a time of blessing, to look back to and say, there, the Lord met me. Remember the bereaved family at Matfield. We think of Rosemary Woodhams and the family and those that stood around the open grave earlier this day. Lord, do bless that funeral service to the good of souls. May there be a voice in these things for us each. Lord, prepare us each for that great day. So have mercy upon us, we pray. Send us not empty away, Lord. Grant us a portion, we pray. Though we deserve not the least of thy notice. So help us, Lord. Bless us together. May there be that flowing together to the goodness of the Lord. Oh, may it be unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So forgive us our every sin. Wash us in that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Take away all our iniquities. Receive us graciously. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
The collection taken here today is for the support of the Christian Institute. Let us continue by singing together hymn number 428 to the tune Melodious Sonnet 647. Humble souls who seek salvation through the Lamb's redeeming blood, hear the voice of revelation, tread the path that Jesus trod. Flee to him, your only Saviour, in his mighty name confide. In the whole of your behaviour, own him for your sovereign guide. Hymn 428.
turn with me to our reading, the second book of Kings, chapter 6. And with the Lord's help this afternoon, I'll speak to you from verse 17. The second book of Kings, chapter 6, and verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The second book of Kings, chapter 6, and verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, a mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. This was a distressing time for this young servant of Elisha. He had woken and risen early and gone out, and well, he saw a host of the Syrian army were camped around about them. A host of horses and chariots. And he had returned to his master Elisha and said, Alas, my master, how shall we do? What do you think it was that brought Elisha to say, Fear not? When surrounded by these horses, the chariots, and a great host, the purpose that they're there for is to take him away, if not kill him. What do you think it was that brought him to say to his young servant, Fear not? It's right and good if we can encourage those around us that are struggling with things in their lives. It's good if we can speak a word to them and encourage them. People have spoken well-meaning words to those that are walking in difficult pathways. But how much better? How much more precious if, when we speak a word of encouragement, we have a foundation for it? Well-meaning words, wishful thinking, optimistic outlooks are one thing. But if they're not founded upon something sure and certain, that's all they are. But Elisha had good reason. Good reason to say, Fear not. His servant had seen with his eyes the horses, the chariots, and the great host. Elisha says, Fear not. And then he goes on to say something even more remarkable, really. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I wonder what that young man thought. What he thought when Elisha said that. What could he mean? He hadn't counted the great hosts that were around. But he was convinced, he was persuaded that there was nothing to fear, and actually that there was more on their side than there was on the side of the enemy. And then he prays. And we're favoured with the record of this prayer of Elisha. Because, you see, this dear man, strong in faith, was dealing with one who either had little faith or no faith. And the things that he had spoken were difficult for the young man to grasp, because the outlook with a natural eye didn't support what Elisha was saying. They were outnumbered. Naturally speaking, they were surrounded. Naturally speaking, from the natural view of things, everything was stacked against them. Their case was really hopeless. But Elisha's faith is great, is strong. And may we notice the loving way he deals with his dear servant, who is fearful. And may those who are strong in faith ever remember this and ever seek to pray for those that are maybe more fearful. What does he pray? He says, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Now that may strike you as a strange thing to pray, because there was nothing wrong with his eyes. He'd seen the Syrian horses and chariots and the great host. What could he possibly mean? Open his eyes. I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. What wasn't he seeing? What couldn't he see? What was there to be seen which he couldn't see at this time? I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Well, this is a different desire to Elisha's desire later, when he asks for the Syrian army to have their eyes opened, having prayed that they would be blinded and led them into the land of Samaria. He then prayed that their eyes would be opened, the natural eye that was blinded by the Lord to be opened. But here, it's not the natural eye. This is not what Elisha prays to be opened. Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. It is the eye of faith. It is the eye of the understanding. It is a desire, a prayer to be enlightened with knowledge. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord did it. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He brought him to see what his natural eye couldn't see. What was revealed to this young man? Well, he saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He saw the gracious, divine, almighty protection of Elisha's God completely surrounding him. He saw the foundation for this fear not. He saw it with his own eye of faith. He saw what Elisha saw. The young man, the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, a mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And beloved friends, that same God of Elisha, almighty divine protection from almighty God in heaven, this same holy, almighty Lord God of Elisha is still surrounding and protecting and guarding his dear people. Now this same almighty Lord God in heaven is hearing the prayers and answering those prayers to open the eyes of those that are blind. What did Elihu speak to Job and his friends? He says this: that which I see not, teach thou me. That which I see not, teach thou me. Maybe you this afternoon, you feel that you're surrounded. It's not a Syrian army. It's not horses and chariots that you're surrounded with. But it's maybe this trouble that we're in as a nation, this virus. You feel surrounded by this. You feel surrounded with it. It's a trouble to you. Oh, that the Lord would bless you with that same gracious word, fear not. Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, for I am with thee. Oh, nothing can go beyond, can come beyond, go beyond the permissive will of our Maker. God is not weakened. God has lost none of his almighty power. His eye is not grown dim. His ear is not heavy. Oh, may we be blessed with an eye of faith. Oh, to see an unchanging God. The same God who surrounded his dear servant Elisha, surrounding his poor people even in 2020. And not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Doesn't mean it won't, but it can't hit except it be according to his will. Or may you find some rest there. Fear not. It doesn't come by chance, by mistake, by accident. Those things are determined and purposed and ordered. Oh, may we seek that the Lord will give us grace to continue, grace to endure, that he might increase our faith. That the things that we live through may bring us, be used. We speak of the word sanctify, be sanctified to us. Be used to bring us to these places in our lives where we are pouring out our hearts before God, praying that he'll undertake for us. Pray that he'll open our eyes, that we might see things from the right perspective. We might have the right view of things. To see that his doings in our lives are in love. That's a wonderful comfort, isn't it, to the child of God? That even the rod is dipped in love. It's not in anger. Sin has consequences, yes. In this life there will be consequences. But for the believer, for the child of God, there's a covenant ordered in all things and sure. And the eternal consequences of sin, the wages of sin, have been dealt with by the surety, by the dear Redeemer, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that which I see not, teach thou me. Well, maybe you're not viewing things this afternoon from the right perspective. You know, we have a natural eye. And our natural eye is filled with various things, influences around us. You only have to think of all the media things that are filling our minds, filling our eyes, filling our ears with information. And they're all vying, all these organisations are vying and striving to fill our eyes and our ears and our minds with their information. And we can be filled with it. And our natural mind and our natural eyes soaking up all of these things. And we're missing. We're not seeing things always in the right, from the right perspective. We don't have the right view of things at all times. Oh, open my eyes, Lord. Open, my eye of faith. I might look beyond and above this day of the virus. You know, to be consumed with this and lose sight of your own soul's need. To be filled with today's trouble and yet be blinded, be not seeing the great day of the Lord which is coming upon us each. Oh, you see, it is one of Satan's things, isn't it? To totally overwhelm us with things. He'll fill our hearts and our minds with anything that would distract, that would take us away from viewing the day of our death, eternity, the judgment day. What about you and I by nature? Well, how blind we are. How we cannot see, except the Lord open our eyes. We cannot see the total depravity of our own hearts. The vileness, the filth, the corruption, the sin. We need the Lord to open our eyes. We need the Lord to search us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, what do you see when you look at your own life? Have you ever been brought to look at it? What do you see of yourself? Have you measured yourself against the Word of God? You all have a copy of it in your own language. How do you measure up? How does your life measure up? The path that you're on, is your eye open? Are you pondering the path of your feet? The path of your steps? Are you walking that right way? There's only one right way. But there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, that we might have our eyes opened. Am I walking in that right way? Oh, how we need the Lord to open our eyes. I will bring the blind, he said, by a way that they knew not. We need the Lord to bring us onto that right way, to lead us, open our eyes, that we might see something of ourselves in the light of the holy Word of God. We might see ourselves for what we are, sinners, and that we might have our eyes opened, the eye of faith, the eye of understanding opened, the Holy Spirit to lead us into the truth as it is in Jesus. And though rightly condemned through sin, our sin, yet see, beloved friends, oh, that way which is marked out with blood, the path of life, that way everlasting. Oh, that we might be like Peter writes of, as sheep going astray, but now returning. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We might be brought to see, oh, the way of salvation. The precious blood of Jesus. We led and brought to our view the Lord Jesus Christ. To view him in the right way. God's eternal Son. View him by faith as our substitute. Jesus in the sinner's place. To view it as the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God. As John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, to see the preciousness of that blood. Oh, to see the power of it. And to know the power of it in washing away your sin and mine. Oh, you might think you've got a world of sin. Oh, mountain of sin. Oh, maybe that's what's surrounding you. It's not a Syrian army, the chariots and horses and a great host. Oh, it's sin. Everywhere you're looking, you're surrounded by it. Constant reminders of your sin and your failing and your shortcoming. Oh, that we might have our eyes open. Open my eyes. What did the psalmist write in Psalm 119? Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh, the wonders of the gospel, the wonders of redemption, the wonders of free grace, the wonders of the love of God, the Father. Oh, the wonders of the love of Jesus, Jesus Christ. Oh, the wonders of that everlasting love. Oh, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law, exceeding and precious promises. The promise in the word of God. Oh, for poor, needy sinners to see the loving welcome recorded in the word of God. Wretched sinners, lost, ruined and undone. Oh, yet hastening to the throne of grace. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, is their cry. Oh, that I might see Jesus. And the sweet welcome. Those everlasting arms to embrace me, a poor sinner. Oh, that I might see the whole of the Godhead united in delivering my poor soul from the pit of corruption. The Lord Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But my mind went to those two blind men on as the Lord Jesus departed from Jericho, and there were two men sitting by the wayside. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, we read, as Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried out the more, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David." Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" You know, really, isn't that the substance of the throne of grace, really? Isn't that what's written over mercy's door? "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" Oh, that we might be drawn in your need there. Oh, that you might be persuaded of the acceptance that is in Jesus. Oh, that you might feel that powerful drawing by the blood of Jesus. Be made nigh. There's a name, beloved friends, to plead. And the one who sits upon the throne says, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" Well, Elisha knew. He knew, didn't he? It was the place of prayer. He knew what it was to come with a need. Open his eyes. Well, these two blind men, they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." Oh, that you and I might be sweetly drawn this afternoon. Maybe feeling some measure of blindness. Maybe you're like that man. He says, I see trees, men as trees walking. Maybe the Lord has begun. You're not completely in the dark regarding your soul and sin and eternity. But you can't see clear. You can't see clearly as you wish. Maybe you're like that man who was thrust out of the temple. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Oh, there's an aching void in your heart. The world can't fill it. There's guilt, there's condemnation upon your part. You want that release. Be made ready, made right before God. What will ye that I shall do unto you? Oh, that I might see clearly my peace, my pardon. Oh, that I might have the matter cleared up. Oh, that I might see by faith the Lord Jesus. I believe he died for sinners, but I want to know. Oh, I want to be persuaded that he died for me. I can't rest on this head knowledge that Jesus came and died for sinners. I need that sweet persuasion in my heart. I need the witness of the Spirit in my heart. I want to feel the difference. I need this mountain of sin dealt with. I need that peace. Oh, I want to see the God of peace. Oh, I might touch the hem of his garment. They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And then what? So Jesus had compassion on them. Yes, he did. And will he not? Does not the promise still stand? Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. And then what? And they followed him. They followed him. Oh, like dear Lazarus coming forth out of the grave. First there was Lazarus arise. Life returned. And the dear man begins to move. But he's bound, hand and foot with grave clothes. He couldn't see, could he? Oh, he'd heard. Divine power had in, but life within him, where death was before. He'd heard with the hearing of the ear. Oh, but how could he walk except he'd be loosed? Let go. And so the command of Jesus, loose him and let him go. And the napkins removed, and his feet are set free, and he's able to walk, he's able to see, and he follows. And they follow Jesus. Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see and he may follow. Oh, that he might walk in that right way, follow in the footsteps of the flock, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Made willing take up the cross and follow him. We need sight. It's a walk of faith. It's not by sight. If you're relying on sight, you'll be overwhelmed. Or if you're seeking to walk in the ways of God and you're trusting in sight, the natural sight, well, you couldn't begin. Things against you. Your own weakness, your own sinful heart. With your own eyes you can look back at what you've been. How can you take up the cross and follow him? How can you take his name and profess it before this world when you look back and see what you have been? Oh, but it's opened my eyes. It's to see Jesus going on before. Oh, it's my sheep, hear my voice and follow me. Oh, when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. And it's looking unto Jesus in prayer, seeking more and more of his presence, more and more of his gracious spirit to be in you, which is the hope of glory. More and more of Christ to be revealed, and yourself subdued, and your old nature subdued. More and more of the Spirit of the Lord teaching you, leading you, guiding you. More and more an increase of faith, of love. It's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How can we look unto Jesus except he open our eyes and in him we see our every need met? Looking away from ourselves and looking unto Jesus. Every time you look at yourself, every time you look to yourself for that strength to continue, you'll fail. Every time you look around, you'll see what the young man saw. The host, you'll see the enemy of souls. You'll see the world around you. But oh, to look above it. Lord, let open my eyes that I might look above these things, that I might see no man save Jesus only, with my eyes fixed there, to walk that path, and walk that way with Jesus Christ going on before, day by day, leading us and guiding us. I pray thee, open his eyes. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. You know, friends, and we'll close with this. May your eye of understanding and mind be open to see that with the Lord's presence, the Lord with you, you're never outnumbered. You never can be outnumbered. Whether it's a storm in a ship, whether that's where you are in your life and you're like those disciples in the ship, but it's with Christ in the vessel I smile at the storm. It's in his presence, the Lord with you. Fear not, I am with thee. You can't have any more than that. Oh, rightly so. There is more with us than they that be with them. If God be for us, who can be against us? And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, a mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. May God add his blessing. Amen.
Let us now sing together hymn number 27. The tune is Tuam 76. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let thy bright beams arise. Dispel the darkness from our minds and open all our eyes. Hymn number 27.
Of our eyes and open all.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.